Now let's continue on in Isaiah 53. And we're going to see that with this was one of the main chapters that, along with others, but this was one of the main chapters of preaching the crucifixion of Christ and how that God knew exactly what he was going to go through. And it had to be known, and it had to be written, and it had to be, like with Isaiah, 700 years before the occurrence. Now let's pick it up here in verse 1. Who has believed our report? And that's exactly the way it is with the preaching. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who's going to know about what God is doing? For he, this is referring to Christ now, we'll see about his life. It covers his growing up and then right to the time of his ministry. And remember, from the very beginning, they sought to kill Jesus Christ. Verse 2, for he shall grow up before him, that is God the Father, like a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness that we should look upon him, nor beauty that we should desire him. He came as an ordinary man, not some great giant man, not some great handsome man, but an ordinary man. Notice verse 3. And here on it talks about what Jesus experienced in his life and his crucifixion. And all of this was necessary, and we know that he came at the appointed time on the Passover day to be that perfect sacrifice. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our infirmities, our sicknesses and diseases. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Yes, it's your fault. If you're the Savior, come down off the cross. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we ourselves are healed. Now, very interesting wording here, isn't it? He was stricken for our speech, our peace, chastised for our peace. Now, whenever you read at the beginning of the Apostle Paul's epistles, grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what it's talking about. He had to pay the price for that, for us, so we can have peace with God. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. As the creator of mankind, he came to take upon himself the sins of all mankind. Like Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, he who knew no sin was made sin, so that the righteousness of God could be upon us. Now that's a fantastic thing, brethren. You know, just like Paul said, maybe even for a good man someone would die. But while we were yet sinners at the appointed time, Christ died for us. And here's the prophecy of it. Okay? He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it is. That's what Jesus went through. He knew why he had come. He knew what he was going to go through. He gave these prophecies, and he knew that they were going to be fulfilled. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. and with his generation who did consider that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. That could be said of no other man. That could be said of nothing else in all of history occurred except the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who was God manifested in the flesh. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, although he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Now God the Father also knew what was going to happen too, didn't he? Yes. And God the Father knew that it had to be the kind of death that it was, with the scourging, with the beating, with the rejection, with everything that he went through. And scourging with a cat of nine tails literally rips the flesh off. Verse 10, yet the Lord willed to crush him and to put him to grief. Now you think about that, because we come to God every day and ask forgiveness for our sins. It's through this shed blood of Jesus Christ that our sins are forgiven. He shall see his seed, talking of his resurrection. He shall prolong his days, and that the purpose of the Lord might prosper at his hand. Through Jesus Christ, these things are going to be done. And finally, those of us living in this end time generation know that the peace of the world is going to come through Jesus Christ and no other way. We're going to see come upon this world awesome events to take place, tragic events, catastrophes. We're also going to see the advancement of mankind to a point that he thinks that he is invincible. And under the deception of Satan, the devil will literally fight against the return of Jesus Christ. Amazing indeed. Notice verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul. Now we're going to see that next. He saw it. Quite a thing indeed. He shall be fully satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Only he could do it. Now, let's understand something, that what Jesus did. He came and willingly did this. Now, let's come to the book of Psalms. Psalm 22. This is quite a psalm. And every time I read this, I cannot help but ask the question, I wonder what on earth David was thinking when he gave this psalm and wrote down this psalm and then gave it to the chief musician and had it put with all the collection of the psalms. Amazing. This goes from some of the words of David to the very words of Christ. And then it goes through to what Jesus saw of his own body while he was hanging there on the cross, bleeding and suffering and all the torment and terrible things that were going on. We're going to see it depicted here in chapter 22. Now let's understand something else also. Were these scriptures not known? Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. Some of these are the very words of Christ while he was hanging on the cross. Verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? And why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not answer. And in the night season and will not be silent. Yet you are holy. You are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Yes, Jesus remembered the throne. Jesus remembered God the Father there. Jesus remembered what it was like when he was there with God the Father before he emptied himself of his divinity, before he gave up the eternalness of his being to take on the form of a man in human flesh and be born of the Virgin Mary. Quite a thing. Now let's come down here to verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. That agrees with Isaiah 53, doesn't it? Yes. And this was written 250 years before Isaiah was written. All who see me mock me, just like we find fulfilled in the harmonies of the Gospels there. All of them talk about how the chief priest came around and said, if you be the Christ, come down from here. And even one of the thieves that was crucified with him said, yes, if you're the Christ, get us down from here. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, since he delights in him. And yes, God the Father did, but not in the way that they demanded. God raised him from the dead after he had been dead 3 days and three nights, and raised him out of that tomb. Verse 9, for you are he who took me out of my mother's womb, the prayer to God while he was right on the cross, causing me to trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. You are my God from my mother's womb. Didn't he say, my God and our God? Yes, he did. And how are we to address God as our Father? That is amazing. Look at all these scriptures. Look how they just leap off the pages of the Bible when you understand them. So he says here, verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. He knows no one is going to help. He knows that he has got to do this by himself. None to help. Many bulls have encircled around me, and the strong bulls of Bashan have surrounded me. Isn't that something? Just like they were there. Here's the cross, and they were circling around the cross in laughing and gleeing and hideous blasphemy against Jesus Christ. All the demons, Satan and the demons. And you'd know that Satan was there. You'd know that he was there gleeful. But it says there in Colossians, the second chapter, that Jesus overcame all of Satan's power through the crucifixion and his love and obedience to God the Father. Verse 13, they opened wide their mouths at me like a raving and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. His strength was just ebbing from him. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. All these thoughts, the prophesied thoughts that Jesus would have, David was able to give these and have them written down for us, and as a record, a permanent record, that yes, Jesus is the Christ, and yes, Jesus was God before he came in the flesh. Verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. And you have brought me to the dust of death. Remember where it said there, Jesus knew, was the will of God. Now when we partake of the Passover, which we will do tomorrow night, let's understand the great price that God paid for it, redeeming us from our sins, because God loves us. God wants us. God has called us. But every year we renew the new covenant at Passover, and so that we can draw closer to God, that we can know we have a perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin, that we can understand that God himself has done this. And what a tremendous and fantastic thing for us now to have the whole Word of God and go back and see it and read it and prove it and understand it, see? Let's continue on. He says, verse 17, I can count all my bones. He looked down and could see his ribs because the scourging ripped away the flesh, and he could see his own bones. What a fantastic thing that was. Imagine how awful that was, and the blood oozing out, and all of the demons circling around. Quite a thing when you understand it. Now let's continue on here in Psalm 22. They divide my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Isn't that something? Precisely fulfilled. Done exactly as God said it would be. And I've often thought how many times when I read this here and in the New Testament, yes, it was fulfilled by those soldiers who never knew anything about what God was doing, or that by doing what they did, they were fulfilling the words of God. They didn't know. Pilate didn't know. The chief priest didn't know. They should have. And especially after Jesus was resurrected from the dead and with the preaching of the apostles. There it is for the whole world to know. Verse 19, but you, O Lord, be not far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. And that's Satan the devil. Goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Because Satan the devil is the author of sin. And human beings can never, because of our nature and because of Satan the devil, ever come to a point of perfection in the flesh. We can come to a point of perfection that God wants us while we are in the flesh, but not to the point necessary for eternal life until God raises us from the dead. This is quite something. Yes. Save me from the lion's mouth, yea, from the wild ox's horns. You have answered me. Now notice the whole purpose of this. I will declare your name to my brethren. And didn't we cover sometime right after the first of the year how Jesus revealed the Father, and his name is the Father? Yes, indeed. That's been proclaimed to us, see? In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And that's what he's going to do when there's the resurrection. You know, you think about how great that is going to be. All right. Now, there's some other things we can cover, but let's come back here to the Gospel of John. John, the 10th chapter. Let's see, Jesus knew. He understood. He realized what it was going to be. And in John, the 10th chapter, we find that Jesus did this voluntarily. He did it because of his great love for all mankind. Likewise, the love of God the Father. Now we find this here in John 10 and verse 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know those who are mine and am known of those who are mine. See, because there are many false Christs out there. There are many counterfeits out there. Do you know the voice of Christ? The voice of Christ are the words recorded in the Bible. And we know his voice. And we are not to follow another. And we are not to go after any other. And why should we? Now notice, Verse 15. Just as the Father knows me, I also know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. Yes, I lay down my life for the sheep. He did it voluntarily. He came willingly. He knew that this was destined from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8. And he knew from the time of the sin of Satan the devil. He knew from the time of the sin of Adam and Eve what he would have to do. I lay my life down for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring those also, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. On account of this, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may receive it back again. See, because there was a special covenant between the two Elohim, one who became the Father and one who became the Son, that when the one who became the Son would give up his divinity and take upon him that pinprick of life to be conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, that there was a covenant between them what Christ should do and what the Father would do. Both. Okay? Here it is. Verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He did this willingly. Now, let's stop and think. Let's just stop and think for just a minute. Today we live in times of a lot of turmoil and a lot of things that take place, right? And lots of times we feel put upon because of various things, don't we? Well, how much was put upon Christ, huh? How much did he go through? How much did he put up with? Willingly, knowing what was going to happen, knowing how it was going to be. Think about it. That's really quite amazing. I have authority to lay it down and authority to receive it back. This commandment I receive from my Father. Quite an amazing thing, isn't it? That's what Jesus did. Let's come here to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Let's see how he was able to go through everything that he went through, and how we need to have the kind of heart and mind, the kind of attitude, the kind of permanent spiritual strength about us that can only come from God, just like that was given to Christ and what he had. Now, here's what Paul wrote concerning the crucifixion of Christ, and what we must likewise also do and be doing. And this is why we take the Passover. Now think about what you have gone through in your life. And we all know that Jesus said, those who attain to the kingdom of God take it with a great struggle. Yes, we've got to fight against ourselves. We have to, with the Spirit and Word of God, overcome sin through the forgiveness and grace of God. We have to overcome human nature. We have to build the character of God. And all of this is because of God the Father through Jesus Christ and what he did when he willingly gave himself as the sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. Now let's come to here to Hebrews 12, begin right here in verse 1. Now, he wrote the whole chapter, the faith chapter of Hebrews 11. By faith, and you'll notice, by faith you have action, because you believe, and if you believe, you act upon that belief. And that goes right back to what Abraham was commended for doing, because he believed and he acted upon it. So Paul writes, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great throng of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every problem, every difficulty, every doubt, every fear, and the sin that so easily entraps us. Isn't that the way it is? In overcoming the law of sin and death within us through the power and Spirit of God, that takes great effort. It is a struggle, and it is something that we have to continually work on every single day of our life until we yield up the last breath. Is that not what Jesus had to do? Yes, indeed. And let us run the race set before us with endurance. And that race is the way of life that God has called us to. But how do we run it? See, you've got to have the goal. You have got to have the inspiration. You have got to have the Spirit of God. You have got to have the Word of God. You have got to have understanding in what you are doing. Verse 2, having our minds fixed on Jesus, the beginner and finisher of our faith, who for the joy... Now, we've read about all the sorrow and grief. We've read about all the oppression and pain. But it says, for the joy that lay ahead of him, the resurrection, the increase of the family of God. What a tremendous thing that is. Just like it's so great, brethren, that God has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ. That Christ came to reveal the Father. And we have direct connection through prayer and study, through the Word of God, through our daily living, through our thoughts, with God the Father and Jesus Christ. So in spite of what's going on, let there be joy in knowing and understanding that God is delivering us from it, that God has something better for us. Yes, we have sorrow when we go through it. But with this Passover, let there be joy in understanding and knowing what God has called you to, who for the joy that lay ahead of him endured the cross, although he despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now that's how we need to view the difficulties and problems that we go through. Don't let them drag you down. Look at them for what they are. Look to Christ for what he is. Look to God the Father for what he can do. Use the Holy Spirit of God to change and grow and overcome. See? And just like Jesus Christ, who is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven above, we will be raised from the dead. Eternal life by the power of God. But we've got to overcome human nature. We have got to overcome Satan, the devil. We have got to overcome the world. And all of that overcoming comes through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says here, now meditate deeply on him. Think about the things that we have covered. Think about these things between now and the time you take the Passover tomorrow. Who endured such great hostility of sinners against himself, so that you do not become weary and faint in your minds. That has happened to some people. This is why we have the Passover renewed every year. This is why we go over what God has done for us. This is why we go through the scriptures. This is why we increase in spirit and in knowledge and understanding. And when that happens, we have trials come along, and those are for testing and proving to see what are we going to do, to see how are we going to react. Do we have the mind of Christ? Do we use the Word of God? Do we use the Spirit of God? Do we constantly come before God the Father, to Jesus Christ? Notice verse 4. You have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your struggle against sin. Yes, we're going to have those things come along. We're going to have these things become part of our daily life's experience. And some of them will not be pleasant. Some of them will be pleasant. But remember that Jesus Christ came and took the death Now let's see what it's going to lead to. Why did Jesus have the joy? Let's come to Hebrews, the second chapter. Let's see this. Hebrews, the second chapter. And we will see that in laying down his life, as he said, he lays it down. No one took it from him. Oh, yes, a man was used to kill him. Yes, there were those who were used to crucify him, but no one took it from him because he laid his life down and he knew what it would be from the foundation of the world. All right, let's come here. And the whole thing, the whole purpose of this is so that we can be born into the kingdom of God, so that all things can be given to the heirs. Now let's pick it up here in verse 8. Verse 8, you, that is God, did put all things in subjection under his feet, that is, mankind's feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that was not subjected to him, but now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. Why? Because the plan of God has not gotten to that point. But we will. This is why, in taking the Passover and renewing the new covenant, this is why we come before God and cry out to him for his spirit, for his strength, for his mercy, for his forgiveness, for his kindness, for his goodness, for his healing. Because by his stripes, we have been healed. By his scourging and shed blood, we have our sins forgiven. Now continuing. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that was not subjected to him. And that goes clear out into the new heavens and the new earth. Absolutely amazing. You see, brethren, we need to understand how vast and deep and eternal and spiritual the Word of God is. But now, yes, we do not see all things subjected to him, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor on account of suffering the death. The death that reconciles all mankind, each one individually, when they repent, according to the time schedule of God's master plan. In order that by the grace of God, he might himself taste death for everyone. Isn't that amazing? Everyone. What love is that? What kindness is that? What mercy is that? How great that is. Now notice why. Verse 10. Because as we see there in Hebrews, the fifth chapter, that he was perfected through this. God was perfected even more with this experience. Verse 10, Hebrews 2. Because it was fitting for him for whom all things were created and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, brethren, the things that we're going to have to go through, we don't know. Look at how much different it is in your life today than what you thought it would be 20 years ago. Totally different, correct? Yes. Okay. Because you're being perfected. Because you look at every trial and every situation as something that is going to work together for good. We'll see that as we go through the days of unleavened bread. Verse 11, for both he who is sanctifying and those who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. You are the brethren of Jesus Christ, the sons and daughters of God. Verse 12, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren, which he has. And when we're resurrected, it will be declared even more, won't it? Yes. In the midst of the church, I will sing praise to him. And again, I will be trusting him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. That's why he did it. So you see, we need to understand it. We need to realize why God did this. And he applies it to each one of us individually. Now, verse 14, since the children are partakers of flesh and blood, in like manner, he also took part in the same, in order that through death he might annul him who has the power of death, that is the devil. To annul all the works of the devil. That's something. And that he might deliver those. Christ is there to deliver you, to deliver me, to deliver all the brethren. That's why it's so important, brethren, that we understand the love of God and understand our love to the brethren. And this is why, as we come to this Passover, we need to repent of all the squabbles and difficulties that have come between us as brethren, and we need to be reconciled to each other as Christ has reconciled us to God the Father. And you need to keep that in mind. We cannot go before God with any unforgiven sins. All right. Verse 15, that he might deliver those who were subject to bondage all through their lives by their fear of death. For surely he is not taking upon himself to help the angels. He is taking upon himself to help the seed of Abraham, the spiritual seed of Abraham. This is why he became flesh and blood, because he promised it, and he promised his death to Abraham, as we saw in Genesis 15. Now notice, for this reason, it was obligatory for him to be made in the like his brethren in everything, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, in order to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Now here's a promise, right here, verse 18. For because he himself has suffered, having been tempted in like manner, he is able to help those who are being tempted. There isn't one sin, one trial, one difficulty, one suffering. There is not one disillusionment in people that you have gone through that Christ didn't go through. There is not one thing that you have experienced that you have the right to hold back on that sin. You must repent of it. I must repent of it. All of us must realize that as we're coming to this Passover, when we're coming to partake of the flesh and the blood of the new covenant of Jesus Christ, that he is there to be with us, to forgive us, to help us, to grant eternal life. And show us how we are to walk. Show us how we are to do. Because he alone has purged our sins. So we need to go him. We need to go to him. We need to ask for his help. We need to ask for his strength. We need to ask for his forgiveness. And realize that he alone can do this. And when we do, and we come with the resolve, now let's see what kind of resolve we need to have. We need to have exactly the same resolve that Jesus himself had concerning the crucifixion. That he, with what he did, what he gave, what he did, he had his mind fixed. Fixed to do the will of God. Now let's come back here to the Psalms and see this. Let's see some very important Psalms. This is the attitude that we need to have coming into the Feast of Unleavened Bread after we partake of the Passover. Let's come here to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. Psalm 57. Here's the attitude that we need to have. Attitude of mercy and forgiveness, and an attitude of forgiving our brothers and sisters their sins, an attitude of reconciling with them. You want God to reconcile with you? Then you better reconcile with God. You better reconcile with your brethren. Now let's pick it up here. Psalm 57, verse 1. Be gracious unto me, O God. Be gracious unto me, for my soul trusts in you. Yea, in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these great troubles pass by. And we're going to experience a lot of great troubles. And we're going to have to live through them. And we're going to have to be having our lives dedicated to God so greatly through the power of God's Spirit. Verse 2, I will cry to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. And that's what God wants to do to you, to fulfill his purpose for you. He shall send from heaven and save me. That's what he's doing. He rebukes him who would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. And that's to us. And then we to the world. An amazing thing. My soul is among lions. I lie down among those who breathe out fire, the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword, just like what Jesus had to go through. You see it building and building and building in a society and in a world, and how men are looking toward those who are Christians who believe in the Bible. They are becoming more hateful and despicable and arrogant. So we're going to go through some trials. Now verse 5, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. And that's the power we are looking to. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. Talking of Jesus, talking of what he went through. Talking about what David went through, what we are going to go through. They have dug a pit before me. In the midst of it, they have fallen themselves, Selah. Now notice verse 7. Notice verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. Are our hearts fixed? Is your heart fixed? Is my heart fixed, O God? Yes, through Christ it is. Yes, through the partaking of the bread and the wine and the foot washing. Yes, through loving God. Yes, through obeying his voice. Yes, through everything that we do. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory, awake, harp and lyre. I myself will awake the dawn. Now also, spiritually speaking, we need to awake. Awake out of the sleep that is the pall around the whole earth. And so this is what we need to look to with the Passover that is coming. Now let's finish by going to Luke, the 22nd chapter. And let's understand deeply what it is with the bread and the wine. Let's see what Jesus said concerning it and why we need to take it. Verse 19, Luke 22, because in this then is contained everything concerning the Passover. Verse 19, and he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. So God applies the sacrifice of Christ to each of us individually. And each of us individually, as we keep the Passover, God applies his mercy and kindness and forgiveness and establishes us under his grace. Jesus said, this do in the remembrance of me. In like manner also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So, brethren, let's keep all of these things in mind. And as we come to the Passover tomorrow night, let's have a Passover that has meaning and fulfillment so that we can be renewed and refreshed before God through the sacrifice of Christ, through his mercy and kindness and goodness, and through the new covenant ceremony of the Passover. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.